You know, I'll never forget my baptism. I gave my life to Jesus when I was a little boy. And you know, it took me 2 years after I made that decision to go all in with Jesus before I was baptized. 2 years. And I've often wondered why. Why did it take me so long before I went public in baptism? And I thought, you know, it's probably because I was afraid. I mean, I was a little boy. I was most likely afraid of taking a public stand. I was most likely afraid of going all in front of the church and responding an invitation. I was most likely afraid of what other people were going to think about me or even what they were going to say about me. But you know, as I've had a chance to really contemplate why it is it took me so long to go public, I really believe that the primary reason was because at that point in my life and at that point in my journey, I didn't truly understand what baptism really meant. I didn't understand it. But I can vividly remember 2 years after I gave my life to Jesus, my dad sitting me down and explaining baptism in a language that I understood. And this is what he told me as a little boy. He said, "Jordan, when a person is baptized, they're telling a story. In fact, they're telling two stories." And he went on to explain that the first story that the person is telling in the baptismal waters is Jesus's story. You're telling the story of Jesus. He said, "I want you to imagine that the surface of the water represents a watery grave." And he said, "This is the story that you're telling. Jesus was born. When the person is standing in the water or sitting in the water prior to being baptized, they're representing the fact that Jesus was born and Jesus lived for 33 years on this planet just like you and I live. Now, he was fully God and fully man, but he had a heart beating in his chest. He had lungs that were filled with air. He was like us in so many ways. So Jesus was born. But as you know from the story and the reason that we're here this weekend, there was a point in his story where Jesus died. And when Jesus died, he was crucified on the cross and he died for the sins of the world. He died for my sins and he died for your sins. But thank God the story doesn't end under the water. Because there was a time 3 days later where Jesus went from being dead to being alive. And he rose from the grave and he proved once and for all that he truly was the Son of God, alive then and alive forevermore. And so when a person is baptized, they're saying Jesus was born and Jesus died and Jesus is alive right now. Amen? But that's not the only story that a person is telling when they're baptized. They're telling Jesus' story, but they're also telling their own story. If you've gone all in with Jesus and he is your Lord and Savior, you're saying as you stand in those baptismal waters, "I was born and I was alive and I was living on planet Earth as a sinner that was separated from the God who created me, the God who loved me. But there was a point in my journey where I heard the gospel. I heard the good news that Jesus could change me and make me new. And when I heard the gospel, I believed it. And when I believed the gospel, I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And in doing that, I was alive then, but I died to self. I died to my sin. I died to my selfishness. The person that I used to be, that person is no longer with us." Do you get it? But you're saying the story didn't end there with me just dying to self. The Bible says that in Christ, I'm a new creation. I am born again. I am alive today on planet Earth, but Jesus says I will be alive forevermore in eternity with the God who created me and loved me and saved me. And so you're not only telling Jesus' story, you're telling your story that I will never be the same because of what Christ has done for me. So on that day, it clicked. My dad explained it that way, and I was like, wow, that is powerful. And in that moment, I understood the significance of baptism. I understood the symbolism of baptism, and I understood the power of a personal testimony declaring once and for all that Jesus has done for me what I could not do for myself. You know, on a day like today, Easter Sunday, I think it's great to be reminded that apart from Easter, baptism is just getting wet. But because of Easter, baptism is the greatest story a person can tell. It's the greatest story because it's a salvation story. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that every single one of us were born sinners. When we were born, we were spiritually dead. And yet we are here today to celebrate the fact that God sent his one and only son for us so that you and I could become spiritually alive. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death spread to all people because all sinned." The Bible just said that because of Adam's sin in the garden, all of us sin. Because of that initial sin, every person that's ever been born on planet Earth has been born with a sin nature. Because they fell short in the book of Genesis, every one of us falls short of the glory of God. And yet the Bible says because all of us sin, we're all condemned together. Because all of us are sinners, the Bible says all of us deserve death. We deserve death, and really, we deserve hell. That's the bad news in the Bible. But thank God, Paul goes on to say that because of what Jesus did on our behalf, we don't have to do that. We don't have to accept that because we have hope today. Listen to me. You don't have to get what you deserve. You know why? Because Jesus came on your behalf. It says in verse 19, "For just as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so also through one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous." And he goes on to say, "But where sin multiplied, grace multiplied even more so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness, resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." The Bible shows us that Jesus' death and his resurrection reconnected us with our Creator. In the fact, in the book of Acts, when Peter explained all of that on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem, he was explaining eternal life, and the people looked at him and said, "What should we do now?" And this is what Peter said in verse 38, right here in Acts chapter 2. He said these words, "Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Did you hear what he just said? He said, baptism is a big deal to God. It's a big deal to God. Can I tell you why? Because Jesus commanded that each of us be baptized. And so it's a big deal to God because it's obedience to Jesus. When we're baptized in obedience, it puts a smile on his face. He tells us to do it. He says, "Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." And I want you to notice the order in which these things are supposed to occur. He says, first, repent, and then be baptized. You get it? See, there are many backgrounds and denominations represented in this room. And many of us may come from backgrounds or denominations that have a custom of baptizing infants. And I'm not going to say anything to diminish that experience in your life or in your story. But I do want to point out regarding this text that when a baby is baptized, that baby has not yet had a chance to recognize its own sinfulness. Would you agree with that? That baby hasn't had the chance to identify, this is sin in my life, and they haven't had a chance to willingly turn away from their sin and turn to God, which is the definition of repentance, by the way. The word repent means to willingly turn from something. It means to do an about face and to head in the opposite direction. So it gives a picture of, I'm headed this way, I acknowledge that this is the wrong way, I do a 180 and I head in the opposite direction. That's what it means to repent. When I was a baby, my parents brought me to a church service very similar to this. And they brought me up on the stage and they dedicated my life to the Lord. Now, I don't remember that, because I was a baby. Many of you had the same experience. But I can tell you what happened that day because my mom has a scrapbook. And I've gone back and I've looked at the pictures and I've read the stories. And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, because I've seen the pictures, my parents committed me to the Lord in front of our church. And they brought me up on the stage and they dressed me in a humiliating white outfit that looked like I was wearing a dress. And then they prayed over me and they handed me a New Testament that I wouldn't be able to read for about 5, 6, 7 more years. And then they prayed over me once again. And let me just tell you, as I reflect on that, all jokes aside, I am extremely grateful to have parents that took the initiative to bring me before the Lord and to dedicate my life to Him. I feel completely blessed to have that kind of legacy in my family and that kind of a heritage that was passed on to me. I feel completely blessed and honored to be their son. But when I reflect on that moment, as grateful as I am for what my parents did for me, I also acknowledge the fact that that moment was their decision. It wasn't my decision. I didn't dedicate my life to the Lord on that day. I don't even remember that day. It was their decision, not mine. And in the same way, I just wonder how many of us have a similar story. How many of us would say, you know what? Someone else made a decision for me. They said, now it's time to pray a prayer. Now it's time to walk an aisle. Or you felt motivated or led by someone other than the Lord to make a decision. That in that moment, you know in your heart of hearts, it wasn't an all-in decision. Some of you can identify a time where you were baptized before you truly went all in with Jesus. You were baptized and then you came to faith in Christ. And now you're contemplating this saying, man, where was I at that point in my life? Was that obedience to God's command? Or was I influenced by somebody else? Listen, Jesus says very clearly in His word, repent of your sin and then be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. May I ask you a personal question on this Easter? Have you had that moment in your life? Think about it. Where you have truly repented. Not where you said, I'm sorry, God, I mess up all the time, my bad. God never says, acknowledge it and say, my bad. God says, turn away from it and turn to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Have you had that moment of repentance in your life where you turn to Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Notice I didn't just say Savior. The Bible never says that that equates to salvation. Jesus can't be just the God in the sky who provides fire insurance so you don't have to go to hell. It's not like Jesus saved me, I don't want to go to hell, but now I'm going to live my life the way that I want to live my life for the rest of my life. No, He said it's an all-in thing. You go all in or you're all out. So when you go all in with Jesus, you're taking the crown of lordship off of your head and you're placing it on His head and you're saying, Jesus, from this point forward, I'm not gonna wake up in the morning and dictate and determine what my life is gonna look like. I'm gonna follow You. I'm gonna trust You. I'm gonna follow Your word. I'm gonna be a child of the King. I'm not God, You are. So I acknowledge that in my life. I turn away from my sin and I turn to You. And have you had that moment, a true moment of salvation? Can you recall the second in your life where you made a personal, cognitive decision to go all in with the Son of God? Can you remember when you were forgiven of your sins? Can you remember the second that you solidified a place in eternity with the God who created you and loves you today? There may be someone here today that says, you know what? I don't recall that moment, but I'm ready. I'm tired of trying to be the Lord of my own life. I'm ready to trust my life with the one who gave me life in the first place. There may be someone here today or someone that's watching this. Maybe you're in the overflow rooms right now on our campus and you're saying, you're speaking to me. I'm ready to be saved. I'm ready to be forgiven. I want a fresh start. I want to be a child of the King. I want to have hope for eternity and abundant life that only comes through the person of Jesus Christ. How do I do that? You know what the Bible says? You got to believe. But you have to do more than just believe. You also have to receive. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but to all who did receive Him, He gave them the right to be called children of God. You got to believe, but you have to receive. Man, have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Would you just bow your heads, close your eyes? I want to give you a little space to get alone with God. Would you just evaluate your own state before the Lord right now? Would you just evaluate that the moment in your life where you went all in with Jesus? And some of you are saying, man, I don't have that moment, but I'm ready. If that's you, would you just tell him right now? Why don't you just pray? Pray a prayer something like this. Say, God, I know I need you. Are you willing to say that today? I know I cannot save myself, but I believe with all my heart that you can. And for that reason, God, in this moment, as best I know how, I am giving my life fully to you. I am turning away from my sin, and I am saying I will trust you as my Savior and my Lord from this point forward. God, give me the courage to live for you. Give me the courage to follow you all the days of my life. Father, I pray that you will look at my faith and you will be well pleased. I thank you for sending your son Jesus for me. I thank you for loving me and pursuing me all these years, and I thank you for saving me today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer and you meant it with all your heart, let me just say what a blessing it is to be a part of your salvation story. If you just trusted Jesus, I want to tell you what the Bible says. Here's the Cliff Notes version. Are you ready? He says, you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and your first step of obedience is to be baptized. Your first step of obedience. And here's the great news today. You ready? If you just prayed that prayer and meant it with all your heart, we're going to give you an opportunity to take your first step of faith in obedience and be baptized today. Today. Some of y'all are like, oh no, it just got real. It just got real. Because in just a few moments, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, I'm going to ask if you just prayed that prayer and meant every word to stand to your feet. Your hearts are beating fast. But here's the thing. You're surrounded by people that love you today. People that have been praying for you. People that are going to celebrate your decision to go all in with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Today is the day of salvation, and we're going to support you. There's other people that are here today that need to be baptized, and you know it. There are many people here that know without a shadow of a doubt, just like these we saw a second ago, that their baptism is on the wrong side of their salvation. They didn't repent and be baptized. They were baptized prior to their repentance, and you know that Jesus makes this very clear, and it's something that we should obey. And we should leave the results to him, believing that God blesses obedience. And so today, for those that I'm speaking to right now, for those who are watching this in rooms across our campus and even around our community, when I say three, I'm going to ask that those of you who need to be baptized today stand to your feet. You say, man, I wasn't ready for this. I wasn't prepared. I didn't think I was getting baptized today. Can I tell you something pretty cool about the Bible? When you read this book from cover to cover, what you're going to discover is every single baptism in Scripture was spontaneous. You'll never read about baptism classes or preparation courses that prepared you for this moment of obedience. It's not the way it works in the Bible. You know if God's on you or not. You know if the Holy Spirit's directing you or not. And God gives us moments like these where we can demonstrate faith and obey God and take a step forward, or we can stand still and completely live out of disobedience to his commands. Something else you'll never see when you read this Bible, you'll never see anyone having to beg someone else to be baptized. When you look at the early church, you're either all in or you're out. You're all in and you're going to accept the consequences, whatever they may be. And in their day, it was persecution and death in many cases. But they were still moving forward in faith and they were believing God with the results. I believe the same should be said of us. If Jesus tells us to do something, our job is to say yes, sir, and to obey him. Amen. And leave the results to him. You say, I get that. I understand obedience. But just practically speaking, I am not prepared to be baptized. Like practically. Like I don't have a towel. I don't have a shirt. I don't have an extra pair of shorts. Well, guess what? We are ready for God to move in your life today. And so let me just tell you something. For some of you that are thinking those thoughts right now, let me just set you at ease real fast. Not only do you get to respond when I say three and be obedient to God's command on your life and walk in that obedience and be a blessing to those around you, but check this out. You also get to leave with a new t-shirt and a new pair of shorts. And so praise God. It's a win-win today. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. If God tells you to do something, there is no excuse that is valid not to obey what God's commanded you to do. And so I just wonder, what's God commanding you to do today? When you are baptized, you are saying to the world two things. This is Jesus' story. This is my story. And from this point forward, my life will be identified with the life of Christ until he comes or until I go to be with him. May I just pray for you before we move forward? Lord, I pray for courage today. I pray for faith. God, in the book of Hebrews, you tell us very clearly, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And yet, God, that reminds me that when we walk by faith, we put a smile on your face. So God, for those that are holding on to their chairs right now with white knuckles, praying that this is a dream, God, I pray you would give them God-sized courage. I pray that you would shut the mouth of the evil one that whispers lies in their ears. I pray that as he tries to convince them that this isn't real or this isn't possible or this isn't practical, God, that you would show them that the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, even when the devil tries to prevent us from moving forward. So God, I pray for this moment. I pray that it would be a supernatural moment of obedience. And I pray that you would use it in ways that are beyond our imagination. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.